Muskogee County Board to reconvene, and I'm going to move down to item 7. Leave the Tule Lake presentation.
Let me see if Mr. Parker's on. Mr. Parker, if you could, if you're on, if you could raise your hand by pressing star 9. Okay, just a minute. There we go.
Good morning, thank you. My name is Kyle Knudsen. I'm with MBK Engineers, and I've been working with Matt Parker on the Tule Lake Subbasin SIGMA effort.
Good morning.
So I have a presentation today. I don't know if it's been provided to you already, or I can share my screen, whatever works best for you.
We have it.
We have it. We're attempting to bring it up.
Alrighty, thank you very much.
Okay.
So as they're bringing it up, there we go. Alright, so thanks again for the opportunity today. The main purpose is this has been a years-long effort that we're wrapping up, and the plan has now been released for public review. And so we'll go over some of the elements that are in that plan. I'm going to go through it pretty quick because there's a lot there. So I really point you to reviewing the plan itself. So next slide, please. Or next page, maybe. Looks like it's a PDF. Yeah. So a quick overview. We'll go over the process and timeline, then the outline, and the next steps. Next page. Like I said, this has been years in the making, back since 2015, when the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act was signed into law. So where we're at now is really at the end of this first step of the process, where we're finalizing the plan after the public review period closes, which it'll close on November 12th. And then it'll go to adoption by each of the GSAs and be submitted to the DWR prior to the deadline of January 31, 2022. Next page, please. So this is the general outline of the plan itself, the Groundwater Sustainability Plan, GSP. I'm not going to list those off. We'll go into more detail further along in this discussion. Next page, please.
Are you still there?
Yes, next page, please. Thank you for navigating for me.
I'm not sure why I'm not navigating it for you, though. Just a second.
So the introduction of the plan just starts to lay the groundwork of the area that we're talking about and who the players are, the purpose of the plan, and introducing the GSAs, the Groundwater Sustainability Agencies. Next page, please. So the purpose of the plan, the SIGMA Act, the law, provides the framework and authority to local water use agencies to continue to manage the groundwater basins at the local level. It allows them to define what it means to be sustainable and how to achieve or maintain sustainability. We'll dive into this a little bit more in section 5 of this discussion and in the plan. So next page, please. So this is what we're talking about for this plan, this GSP. The light blue area is the Tule Lake Irrigation District. So they're the primary GSA in this case. They're really taking the lead because they cover most of the ground and they're the main water supplier in that area. Also identified is Siskiyou County, dark blue on the left, and then Modoc County, green on the right, and the city of Tule Lake, yellow in the middle. So the counties and the city are really covering those areas within the sub-basin that are not already covered by Tule Lake Irrigation District. And then all these four entities entered into a MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, to undertake this effort. Next page, please. So section 2 of the plan dives a little bit more into the plan area, describing it, and then also the basin setting. Next page. So as you all likely know, even though SGMA is a California requirement law, the Tule Lake Subbasin is highly dependent on what's going on up in Oregon. It's a part of the greater Klamath Basin, and the water supply for the Tule Lake Subbasin is dependent on the Klamath Project. It's an isolated subbasin within California. That means there's no immediately adjacent basins touching its boundaries. Fairly stable population, and the majority of the land use is agriculture within the subbasin. Next slide. So for the basin setting, it provides a hydrogeologic basis for the plan, dives a little bit more into the geology and what is really out there in the subbasin. So it's the old lake bed. The yellow is the alluvial layer, which is all underlain by volcanics. And then you have the ridges to the west and east. Next page, please. The top, I know these are very hard to read. There's some larger versions within the plan itself, but just to give you an idea, I threw them on this page. So the top figure is if you took a cross section east to west, and you would see what the subbasin looks like. And then similarly, the one kind of on the bottom right is if you took more of a north to south cross section. So the purple is the volcanics, and then the yellow is the alluvial part of the subbasin, the old lake bed. Next page, please. Section 3 of the plan describes the monitoring network, one that's already in place. There's a lot of monitoring that's been going on for years in this area, as well as dialing that into what monitoring will be like and what the objectives are under this effort described in this plan. Next page, please. So it describes a network. There's about 70 wells within the subbasin that are monitored at least twice a year. The objective of using this network is to measure progress towards sustainability or measure maintenance of sustainability. And it's used to monitor for chronic lowering of groundwater levels, depletion of interconnected surface water, land subsidence, and reduction in groundwater storage. So we're hitting on a lot of the different criteria that are required to be monitored as part of SGMA through this network. And then there's also a separate monitoring network for maintaining water quality, so to ensure there's not degraded water quality in the subbasin. One of the other items that SGMA asks for monitoring of is seawater intrusion, but it is not applicable for the subbasin, and that's why we have it crossed out at the bottom of this page. Next, please. So like I said, we take the existing network and then we dial it in to develop more of a representative network. And so what that means is that it covers the area spatially as well as a diverse purpose of use of the wells. And so the figure on the right is the groundwater level network, which is comprised of both irrigation wells as well as domestic wells and dedicated monitoring wells. And then on the right is the water quality network, which is primarily the City of Tule Lake wells and Newell's wells, which already have their own requirements under different requirements for them to monitor. And then there's another monitoring well that we're using near the northwest corner of Westside Irrigation District, kind of on the western edge of the sub-basin. Next page, please. Part of the plan, you need to provide hydrographs for the wells, and so these, once again, they're very hard to read I assume you guys are looking this up on the screen, but you can look to the plan for to see these in more detail. But what was really interesting to us was starting about the year 2015, these four hydrographs on the right have really started to stabilize as opposed to the fairly decline that you can see from the early 2000s up until that 2015 mark. Why that's important is, one, that it seems that the basin has reached a new equilibrium, as well as SGMA does not require agencies, the GSAs, to go back in time and to fix issues prior to the law being in place, so prior to January 1, 2015. Next slide, please. So now that the kind of the groundwork has been laid in the early sections of the plan, the next requirement is to go through and develop water budgets, both historical, current, and projected. Next slide. This is an example water budget from material that California Department of Water Resources, DWR, provided. Just a very generic schematic of what a water budget would look like. For our purposes, we focused on the land surface system, the groundwater system, and the surface water system. Next, please. And so first what we did is we looked at the historical water budget. We started with the year 2000, because that was the year where that's the year it really started to, we thought there was reliable data based on district records and correspondence with the district, and ran it through the year 2018 because that was the most current data that was available at this time as we were developing these budgets. As noted here, kind of top left, once again, even though we're going back to the year 2000, the GSAs are not required to fix any issues that may have occurred prior to January 1, 2015. Another part of the plan requirements are you have to identify the approximate annual sustainable yield. And so based on this historical water budget, that's kind of circled middle of the page, is 42 and 6, so 48,000 acre feet is our estimate for the approximate annual sustainable yield. And once again, that's just an annual number average, and so some years it might be greater, some years it might be less, but that's the average. Next slide. There was also a current water budget developed, but that was just for the year 2018, so it was more of a checking the box requirement. It's not as useful. The projected water budgets were very interesting and useful, and that's why we wanted to share them with you today. So we ran this two different ways, one without climate change and one with climate change. DWR requires that you incorporate climate change based on data that they provide, and which show that The data that they provided showed an increase in temperature, which led to an increase in crop demand, but it also led to an increase in rainfall. So this one alternative for what climate change could look like ended up where, as shown in the circles kind of bottom of the page, there is no net effect on the change in storage in the subbasin based on those effects of climate change. Next slide, please. So that was, the prior page was more of the table format. This is the visual format of the same information. The key here is the light gray line, which you can see hovers around the horizontal axis, showing that the annual change in groundwater storage, it goes up and down, but it hovers around that zero line. Next page, please. And then once the water budgets are developed, it gets into what I mentioned earlier, where it gives the authority to the GSAs to define a sustainability goal, what undesirable results, definitions they're going to use, and then quantifying those criteria. Next page, please. And so the sustainability goal that was developed by the GSAs was to maintain a locally governed, economically viable, reliable, and sustainable groundwater subbasin for current and future beneficial uses without causing undesirable results. It was also noted that even though, like we've discussed here, the groundwater storage is hovering around that zero line, so it's showing that it's indicating that the subbasin is currently being managed sustainably. The GSAs did note that adaptive management will be utilized if necessary. So if that line does start to trend negative, adaptive management will be discussed and those efforts will be developed on an as-needed basis. Next page. There's a lot of text on this slide. I'm not going to go into reading every word, but this is where the GSAs defined what the undesirable results are for each of the criteria under Sigma. So I would point you to the plan to get more detail on this topic. Next slide. And then this is the table format for the undesirable result definitions for groundwater levels. What we looked at was both the historical records for the wells, as well as keyed in on domestic wells in the area, to make sure that these undesirable results are within the bounds of how the subbasin has been operated historically, since it is being shown to be managed sustainably. Next page, please. Somewhat similarly, for water quality, the intent here was to maintain the existing water quality, since there is no known degraded water quality in the area, and so we relied on requirements that are already in place, especially for the city of Tule Lake and Newell. Next page, please. One of the final sections of the plan are projects and management actions. These are, I think, the intention originally by DWR of this section is for areas that are in much worse shape. So what would the projects and management actions be to get to and maintain sustainability? Since we're showing that the subbasin is already sustainable, this section may have not been needed, but we still wanted to identify what is going on in the subbasin to document that these efforts will be ongoing. So next page, please. One of the key, this is a list of the projects management actions that were identified by the GSAs. And one of, I'll call it the very first one on the list. This came up when we first showed that figure earlier on in this presentation where there was about 70 wells that are monitored frequently on an annual basis. And a lot of the GSAs raise questions of, well, are all of these wells active or not? There's a lot of wells that are either destroyed or modified, deepened. And so what we really we're relying on is the state's records, well completion reports, to identify all of the wells in the subbasin. And what we are now doing as part of this implementation project is to review those records to try to identify which wells are still active, which wells have been modified, and essentially clean up those records. As you will see, there are quite a few other projects and management actions listed here. I would encourage you to go to the plan to learn more about these projects. Next page, please. Plan implementation provides an estimate of the cost to implement the plan, because as you may know, even after the plan is submitted prior to January 31, 2022, this is somewhat of a never-ending process, with annual reports, five-year updates, and everything else in between. So that provides a cost for that, a schedule, and then a description of the reporting and periodic evaluations. Next page, please. So this table provides a summary, both of what I just described of the annual reports and the five-year updates, as well as those projects and management actions that were a few pages prior to this. And these costs haven't really been dialed in. It's more ballpark costs, just because at this point, this is a lot of these are more in the planning phase, haven't really dialed in the nuts and bolts of what each project will entail. And so just to provide those ballpark ranges for purposes of this plan, those were developed. Next page, please. So like I said, the final GSP must be submitted prior to January 31, 2022. And then there are annual reports that are required. The first one is right around the corner, April 1, 2022. And then every 5 years, the GSAs are required to update the plan as necessary. Next page, please. So next steps. Like I said, our public comment period runs through November 12th. So we are collecting any public comments that come in and address them as appropriate. Following that, there will be a TCT, which is the Tule Lake Core Team, which is comprised of each of the GSAs. They will approve the final GSP, and then each member will then bring the approved GSA back to their board for adoption. So in this case, Matt Parker will bring the final GSP back to you all for adoption, likely during a December meeting. And then once each of the GSAs have adopted the plan, we will submit the GSP to DWR for their review. Next and final page. So if you have any questions or comments, feel free to email us there at tulelakesigma@gmail.com. The public draft GSP and additional information about the 14 activities, when the meetings are happening, the agendas, the minutes, all those kinds of things can be found on the Tule Lake ID website, which is also listed there. And with that, that wraps up my presentation. Once again, thank you very much for this opportunity. I guess if you have any questions, I'm open.
Thank you for the presentation. Work well done. One question for Station 48, was that for domestic well recharge as well?
So the plan there, I think you're referring to the projects and management table, where The district has identified reoperating Station 48 so that it's operated in more of a historical fashion. So they would be changing the operation there to bring more Lost River flow down into the Tule Lake sub-basin during the winter season and charging their canals. And so I would think that that would both charge the soils and as well charge the domestic wells. Hopefully that answered your question.
It does. I like that plan because, as you know, Lost River flowed into the actual Tule Lake. So I think it just makes sense to restore that historical practice. Is there any comments on Medicine Lake or the volcanic soils up there and how that can contribute to the groundwater of Tule Lake? Medicine for Tule Lake.
I'm sorry, is that question posed to me?
It is,
yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry about that.
Sorry, could you repeat the question?
It's hard to read body language over a computer, so don't worry about it. Is there any discussion about the highlands of Medicine Lake? I think it was under AB 3030, Tule Lake was looking at Medicine Lake as being one of the sources for groundwater. I was just wondering if Medicine Lake Highlands was considered for their as a source of groundwater for Tule Lake area.
No, we did not dial into that area to Medicine Lake, but I will make a note and see, I'll ask the district about that. That's
okay.
Interesting.
No, thank you. I think, especially with the fires that occurred up here this year and last year, in that volcanic soil, a lot of juniper trees were removed, so it may be a source for water for maybe the Coppock Bay area. I don't know the whole Tule Lake area or not. And then thank you. It's interesting, as a side note, that we have to do, and this is just a comment, I compliment you for your work and what you've done, but it's interesting, we have to do a GSA for what used to be a lake bed.
Yeah.
You know, that's interesting. But I appreciate your work, and all I had was Station 48 and Medicine Lake, if the Tule Lake Core team feels that's something that should be included. So thank you.
Discussion?
Well, pretty straightforward for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I like the fact that they're talking about recharging the canals. I mean, that just seems like a pretty straightforward process. I mean, I hope that's replicated throughout.
Okay. I think that'll conclude our presentation then. And thank you very much for coming on and addressing the board, and I'm sure as this comes to the board for approval, we'll have some more questions.
All right, thank you very much.
All right. Is the water board ready?
Yes, I believe so. I do have one thing that I need to do with the video, if you could just hit pause for a few seconds.
We'll take a couple minute pause. And